Today we're going to give you guys a little peace and a little joy with this game that we love, fantasy basketball. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. Welcome to our viewers on Twitter and YouTube, and head on over to Discord. The link is in the show notes. You can get some questions asked and answered, and also check out the great community that we're forming over there in Discord. And quickly, if you have been under a rock, we are doing two shows a day. We got some special segments. We got some buy low, sell high stuff. We got week ahead with Mike Pasador that we've been doing. We've got live shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with myself and this gentleman next to me, Dr. A. And then probably my favorite thing, Ethos After Dark on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays with Doc and Rick Kambla. So tons of content headed your way. Head on over to the Discord, get those questions answered. And let's shout out our sponsor before we get started. We got a big slate tonight. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online sports betting. From the earliest odds to live in-game betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, NHL, to entertainment and political props. Those are probably not relevant anymore. Head to the Bet Online today, to get in the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. So today we're going to start with the Sacramento Kings, Keon Ellis, and Jonathan Mobo. No, we're going to go in chronological order. There's not an uprising on the set here. And frankly, I'm done talking about Keon Ellis and the Kings. I feel like the proof's in the proverbial pudding. There's nothing else to be said there.
Wow.
He's good. They're good.
It's over.
It's good.
The race is over. Keon Ellis is now the president of NBA, Fantasy NBA Today.
With 7 points and 3 rebounds and like 5 million steals and blocks.
He really got the swing vote in Nevada. Like, Keon Ellis.
You know what he did do is he swung the third quarter in the favor of the Sacramento Kings and made them look like a Western Conference contender.
We are starting with the Raptors and Kings. I will have it no other way on my show.
Oh, so I see your vote counted today, and my vote didn't, because I was just dying to drive into my Detroit Pistons playing the Charlotte Hornets.
No. We're starting with Keon Ellis.
I want to hear your impassioned defense of Keon Ellis, Doc. But we're going to go through all the games.
You have actually swung me like I'm in. Like, he started. He got tons of minutes. He's a defensive genius. I'm in on Keon Ellis. Now, the question is, would you rather have Keon Ellis or some of these other guys that we're going to talk about? Because there's a couple players in New Orleans, a couple in Portland. Like, the waiver wire's sort of popping right now.
Yeah, lots of injuries just sort of dropped on everybody's heads. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a race at the top of this waiver wire here. So who knows? Maybe we'll just play a game of would you rather have Keon Ellis or player X, and we'll just do it all episode long because Doc wants to talk about Keon Ellis all day, every day, with no breaks. But seriously though, as we go through all these games here tonight, a lot of games tonight, is there anything else in Toronto, Sacramento that you really want to see out of this game here tonight?
Honestly, it sounds like we're joking, but literally Keon Ellis is the most important thing going on in that game as far as fantasy goes. Now, maybe Oche Agbaji, I kind of want to see if he can keep that thing going. Grady Dick has been awesome. If you drafted Grady Dick or if you picked him up, he's been quite solid. And I think Davion Mitchell, why he doesn't actually move the needle too far. If you want to play him in a DFS league, I think it makes sense.
Dick is solid and moving the needle. I think my favorite thing with the whole Grady Dick thing is watching opposing announcers try to figure out how to step out of the 12-year-old jokes because they can't do it. It's like one hits. It's like there's like a flurry of 5, 10, 12-year-old jokes that hit at the same time. And they're trying not to say them, and they can't stop saying them. Top 36 value, that Grady Dick. Solid, even.
And what's crazy, too, is that this is sort of like your Super Bowl tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, because it's a mobile game. And they
played it. Mobo against
it's
Keon Ellis. Like, how could we not start with this game?
What if they defend each other? The world is going to end. No, it's...
It'll be like Back to the Future 2. Whatever you do, don't run in to your former self. Don't do it. And it could happen. Mabo could play straight up on Keon Ellis.
It could happen. You know, Mobo's been a little light in the stats lately, but has... I mean, man, talk about some like welcome to the NBA moments. Poeltl keeps fouling out. And at the end of these close games, Mobo comes in. And like in the Kings game, he completely turned the De'Aaron Fox led like 8 or 9-0 run that brought the Kings back into that game. He turned it around. And so I'm sure Rajakovic was like, oh my God, that's great. And then in the Denver game, Poeltl fouls out. And then he just has to go defend, Nikola Jokic. And it was a he had a tough little foul in there that he shouldn't have put his hand in the cookie jar, and Jokic of all people will make you pay for that. But other than that, he was solid. And that Toronto team, Abaji, actually for me is maybe my most interesting watch.
That's where I was going back to, man. Like we really can't ignore him.
He's a top 60 value right now in 8 games to start the year. And that my question for him is, can he keep going on the defensive side? Because he's averaging 1.4 steals, 0.6 blocks, and then a 3.5 per game and 30 minutes per game, 58% shooting. Okay, so like 58% shooting, not sustainable, right? So he's going to come back. He's not going to be this valuable over time. He can't shoot this well the entire season. But can he settle in and get you more than 3 cash counters per game, 3s, steals, and blocks? Can he do it? That I think maybe he can. So I'm excited to see his development. And I just like this Toronto Raptors team in general. Mobo, for his part, as long as he could just keep cruising around 20 minutes per game and play well, I like his chances to keep that role going forward. And then in that case, can he have enough steals and blocks and goodies to just hang out as a late round value? That's all I need him to do is late round value. And then I think as the year goes on, he'll just get better and better and better and get a little bit more freedom to up the production levels.
Agbaji, we don't have to look that far back to see when these guys played each other, right? It was Saturday. Agbaji hit 9 of 12 shots, 4 triples for 22 points, 5 boards, a block, 2 steals. He backed it up against Denver, 33 minutes, 6 of 11, 2 threes, 16 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals. Agbaji might be the low-key pickup of fantasy hoops right now.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one question about Grady Dick before we go into the next game because we might be here all day and we got to keep it moving here. What would it take? Like, what do you think fair trade value is for him? Is it he's currently in the late first round, mid round? Like, can the Grady Dick stuff keep going? Because it is, I mean, he's kind of dominant right now. And that's.
Dude, I was on him at the beginning of the season. Like, I don't know who else is going to do what he's doing. What's fair trade value? I mean, I think if you're trading for Dick.
Yeah, look at you. I love it.
If you're trading for Dick right now, you're overpaying.
Yeah. That ain't worth Dick. Yeah. That ain't worth Dick.
If you have him and you want to, I just think it's too early in the season to be like, hey, I'm going to go trade Grady Dick and give me some I don't even know who. Joel Embiid. It's too early, but it's.
Producer Audrey Lemush is so mad at us for going through this game for so long. And that question for how big is your love for Dick? He's just so upset about that one. All right, let's get to my other favorite team, the Golden State Warriors. I did a great podcast with Sam Orlick the other day. I can't wait to see that one released. They're 6-1, Boston 7-1. A little bit of a revenge game from the finals a couple years back. 4:30 start in the Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. So what are you watching for in this one?
Who do we have? It's Golden State and?
Golden State and Boston.
Oh, man. Boston's no good. They're just so quietly killing it. And you know what? My Jason Tatum hate that I carried with me all summer and all through the
preseason mode here.
I'm not really apologizing, but I'm starting
an apology.
I'm starting to come around on Jason Tatum, and I feel like he may be trying to rub Steve Kerr's face in the dirt a little bit. And I'm sort of backing Tatum and his battle over Kerr. But first of all, Peyton Pritchard has been amazing, and I'm so glad that I drafted him at the end of almost all of my drafts. For the Warriors, I guess Pajemski's feeling better. He's good to go. We haven't really seen Andrew Wiggins do his thing yet. The Warriors are just weird. Like Kamla and I were talking about on that crazy Monday night we had. Like Steve Kerr's rotation is so broken, and he's playing like 15 guys. Like nobody can do well if you're playing 15 guys, 15 or 20 minutes apiece. So I don't even know. I feel like the Golden State bicycle is broken.
I'm fine with Golden State. I do hear you on the rotation stuff. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis is just kind of hanging out playing 13 minutes a game. In this game, I guess I want to see what they're doing in Boston's center rotation. That's just kind of swinging back to the Boston side. No Jaylen Brown. And that team actually feels like they're pulling for Tatum. You know, if there was any question about chemistry or anything like that, I think that Grant Williams stuff was pretty illustrative of a team that kind of has his back in Tatum. And so to the idea of a narrative of a revenge, if you will, I bet everybody's on that revenge game in DFS. I bet everybody's pumping that thing up. I don't know if there's going to be value there. I don't know if the salaries in DFS caught up to that. If not, that seems like easy money, right?
The question is, how big is Tatum going to go off tonight? Because this is a national type of news scandal story. Like, Kerr's like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play you in the Olympics. And Tatum's like, excuse me? And now Jason Tatum gets to play with his team against that guy. Dude, the salary may be tough to match, but I don't know how Tatum doesn't score 50 tonight. If he doesn't, it's because he was too amped up.
I do think that if you're looking, I don't know if in standard leagues you're going to have space to make this kind of a move, but if you were to be throwing a dart in a deeper league, I do wonder if Kyle Anderson gets a lot of run in this one because he matches up well physically with Tatum, and you need somebody who understands how to keep your hands out of the cookie jar with him and have enough strength. And Anderson has enough strength for that matchup. Now, that would be very smart, and it would be also kind of outside of character for Steve Kerr right now to play him a lot because he's only doing it sporadically. Buddy Hield, I think, deserves a mention no matter what. He's been like a top 10 fantasy guy.
He's a cockroach, dude. He just, you can do whatever you want to Buddy Hield, and he's always going to come back and hit threes. Like, remember when they buried him in Philly last year?
Except for the last game, and he scores 20 points when they needed it.
I mean, Buddy Hield. He's like clockwork, man.
And he takes a lot of heat for a lot of things, but like, they're not asking him to make a bunch of decisions in Golden State. You know, he does very well. And that's a very smart pickup for Golden State. And if you were able to get Buddy Hield in fantasy leagues, you have to be feeling wonderful. And I don't think things are changing there, folks. I mean, he's not going to be a top 10 the rest of the way, but keep in mind, when he was sort of at his peak fantasy value in marketplaces, you know, he was running around top 40, and a fully realized Buddy Hield actually does have potential to get to top 20. So don't panic sell, and don't, you know, if you think that the guy that's got Buddy Hield in your league is getting smart and he's going to sell him high, you know, be right there to help that person out. Let's see what's up next on the docket here. We'll get into some chronologically ordered games. It's my Detroit Pistons, who are now surging at 3-5. Bernie Bickerstaff, or JB, he needs to be coach of the year, in my opinion. That's what we should talk about for an hour. I think we should just get that thing going, and we can ride the big winnings away. But all kidding aside, my big bets aside, I like that Detroit's winning. I think this is good for everybody's fantasy value. I mean,
they're not winning. They're 3-5.
They are winning, Doc. They're surging, these Detroit
Pistons. They're 3-5.
And soon to be 4-5 after tonight's action.
If they were an NFL team, they'd be in last place.
Now, I don't know about that math, but what you watching for in this game?
I want to see Kate Cunningham keep it going. I want to see Jaden Ivey, 26 points in his last game. I want to see him keep it going. You know, every once in a while I look at Tobias Harris and I'm like, man, I was so mean to that dude. I was so
horrible. We get another apology.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I don't miss him. I'm not sad that I don't have him. He's not doing horribly, but he's also not killing it. I'm fine without Tobias Harris in my life. And Tim Hardaway Jr. has sort of become the Buddy Hield of the East.
Wow. Those are some words right there.
All threes, all points, nothing else, but he's doing it every night. If you need points and threes, Tim Hardaway Jr. might be your guy.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, I mentioned earlier, Grant Williams. I'm curious what Charlotte's doing at the center position. Like, is it going to be Grant Williams? Like, what in the world's going on with Nick Richards out? Mark Williams just still disappeared. No.
Where's
update.
Mark Williams?
No updates. No nothing. What? It's like we're living in a time warp. It's almost like history is repeating itself. What's going on here? There's no productivity out of that position so far. So we've got big question marks. Is Grant Williams actually going to have a little run here? I mean, do you take a flyer on Grant Williams for 2 weeks?
No. No, yeah,
he's had little 1 week runs. You know, when he joined Charlotte,
Nick Richards,
he signed up for them, and he's like, "Oh, I think I'd like to play for the Charlotte Hornets. I'll just sign up right now." He had a nice run; it was good for like a couple weeks, and then he regressed back to Grant Williams as he tends to do. I'm not pulling the trigger on that, not for 1 to 2 weeks, but somebody should, and let us know how it goes.
I just don't trust Grant Williams at all.
And you know what I think we're also seeing tonight is a get right game out of Miles Bridges. He has been really down in the numbers, and he's faced some stiff competition. Like, all of the Charlotte opponents have had a stout, strong player that matches his build, and that takes away all his bully ball stuff. And I think he's overly due. If you're in DFS and you're looking at a low salary there, I think this at home is the night that he gets going.
I hope so, man. I've got a lot of Miles Bridges on my teams. I've used them a lot in DFS. And it has not been very much fun. But if they don't have a center tonight, Miles Bridges, I think, qualifies at center in 30 deep. He's on my 30 deep, my first place 30 deep team.
You knew that was getting wedged in here.
And he hasn't been very good. So I am hoping and praying for the Miles Bridges breakout tonight. Do I trust it to happen enough to buy him in DFS? I don't know. I'm going to set up my lineup right after the show. I guess we'll find out.
We got LaMelo Ball, right ankle soreness.
What?
Has been added to the injury report.
You're kidding me.
I don't know. The prior note, you know, we don't do ice pick in your eye trivia anymore, but the prior note was just a quick nugget that Mark Williams has now missed over 330 days, making him the current record for the longest record. He holds the current record for the longest time sidelined by an active NBA player. Robert Williams III was the previous holder of this record statistic, as he had missed a full year of play, but he was an active player in Monday's game.
Dude, that would have been a great trivia question.
Should have been. The LaMelo Ball stuff hits, and what is this? I'm not up to date on which ankle is which ankle. Is this the ankle that's the bad one, the one that's threatened seasons?
It's the one that's made out of Cool Doritos.
Yeah. Ooh, Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah.
Yeah. That news, if it is indeed to the same ankle, that's going to send shockwaves through the fantasy marketplace, and how that gets handled will be quite the Cool Ranch Dorito.
Well, yeah. He's questionable. So there's still a very good chance he could play in this game.
He could have been probable. And I think it would have been, you know, a shot to people's souls, because, you know, everybody's riding so high, and then all of a sudden, boom.
No. Everybody knew this was coming, dude.
I don't think people want to hear about it. To be honest, I think that it scares them. It would scare me. I wouldn't want to read that report if I had LaMelo Ball.
You know what's funny, dude? I think I once called Steph Curry's ankles made of Doritos. And it was like, I don't know, 15, 10 years ago. It was a long time ago. So I call people, I say that people's ankles are made of Doritos all the time. It doesn't even faze me anymore. It's just part of my slang and the Dr. A, whatever.
Slangiverse.
But I was on the radio on Tuesday, and he goes, "What do you think about this?" I said, "Well, his ankles are made of Doritos." And everybody in that studio just started laughing so hard.
Oh, they'd never heard it. They'd never been exposed.
Then I forgot that it's not like normal everyday lingo to say that somebody's ankles are made of Doritos. But
well, this, in this
my
case,
world,
true.
It is. And
Trey Mann, actually, you know, Trey Mann had a slow game the other night with Brandon Miller back. And if you're hanging on to Trey Mann, this, I think, would give you reason to hang on to Trey Mann just a little bit longer. Because if I don't know what this is, if this is, you know, anything serious, and at some point in time we'll find out if this is the ankle that caused him to miss so much time. I guess I could figure that out on my own here real quick.
Brew, are you aware that Trey Mann has scored in double figures in every single game this season?
I am now, but actually, if I was put, you know, to the test, I would have said that, yeah, because he's been great. And he's taking some big boy shots, and it's clear he has what it takes to be a player in this league and produce. It's just when they have, I mean, LaMelo just holds on the ball all game long. And so if you got Bridges and you got Brandon Miller, that's it. Like, it's kind of game over if you're an offensive player on that team. Like, you're not going to get the ball. And
it hasn't been for Trey Mann.
Yeah, he gets the ball, but it's low end stats. In that scenario, I don't know if people want to ride that ride.
And also, maybe. They played Boston back-to-back games, and he had 23 points in one of those.
Trey Mann, so the going's been good for Trey Mann, and he's got you top 85-ish value in nine-cat leagues. So that's in about 26 minutes a game. That's, you know, that's a high watermark right now for him. He's probably going to play 20 minutes a game when the scorers are all healthy.
You are saying this is a sell high moment.
Let him have a big game if LaMelo doesn't play or whatever his next big game is, that would be a sell high moment. And otherwise, I'd say for the rest of the season, Trey Mann's a top 125 to 150 guy and maybe flirts with the wrong side of the cut line when the going's bad. So I don't know. That to me probably means in a lot of leagues, hang on to Trey Mann. But especially with this news with the ankle, I would say that rises to the threshold of hanging on to Trey Mann. That was a right ankle injury, which caused him to miss the entire 2023 or the remainder of the 2023-24 NBA season. So, yeah, alarm bells. Alarm bells. But, like, also the flip side of this thing is, of course, they're going to play it safe. And it'd be stupid for them not to play it safe. So it's not the end of the world. It's just, like, the thing you didn't want to hear about the guy that just shot out of a cannon to start the season and in drafts in the early draft season, before anybody saw him play, I mean, it was a question of like, where do you draft this guy? Third round, fourth round? And people eventually got him in the second round and feel great about it. Let's keep it moving because we're going so fast today. You know, Orlando, the news has been out for a little bit with Wendell Carter Jr. That and Indy with no backup center, they're kind of almost facing the same
stuff. What is the news, dude?
I don't know if the news is actually like has solidified with this injury, but it definitely seems like it's more, it feels like it could be in the day-to-day range, but I don't know. With Wendell Carter Jr., it feels like day-to-day might be more like days to days. I don't want to go week to week, but days to days. So you've got a two-headed monster now at center in Orlando. You've got Mo Wagner and Goga Bitadze. And Goga actually did what he kind of tends to do is show up out of nowhere and be a little bit productive. That and an Indy, same thing, really. Miles Turner, not a big minute guy. Isaiah Jackson out for the year with an Achilles. So you got these questions at big man for both of these squads. It's left foot plantar fasciitis for Wendell Carter Jr. What, if anything, are you looking for in this game? I mean, Banchero's been out for a bit, so we've all been adjusting to that. And that's been talked about and discussed. Anything new? What's one player that you would watch?
In Orlando? Dude, you know what's crazy?
Orlando or Indy, for that matter.
You literally just reminded me that I have Fantrax rosters. And I'm like, oh my God.
I love it.
I don't even think I set those on Sunday night like I do all my other ones. So I was just in Fantrax setting lineups. I honestly did not listen to a single word that you said. I didn't care. I mean, yeah, it was sort of normal. What am I looking for?
Being honest right now, but go on.
What I'm looking for is Tyrese Halliburton was very good in his last game, and he got them a win. And they need for the Pacers to do well. Tyrese Halliburton has got to be a 25 and 10 guy with efficient numbers and pick up everyone around him. He needs to do it again tonight and keep the love flowing, because if he sucks, the Pacers suck.
Yeah, and I actually thought that was a get-right game for him, and he made some key shots late. And so, again, maybe this was just a seven-game slide, you know, seven-game confidence slide for Halliburton. Usually they're 3-4 games. This was a six-game slide. And, I'll be watching Obi Toppin and maybe even Jairus Walker. Can there be a Jairus Walker sighting?
What about Benny Mathurin? He's been playing good, man.
Yeah, the stats set's not there for standard leagues. I like the player. I just hate the game. Let's move it along to New York and Atlanta. Trey, you got an update on
hold
Trey?
On. Hold on. Benedict Mathurin, his last three games, 30 points, 19 points, 16 points, rebounds, 11, 6, 7, assists, 4, 3, 3. I'll give you not many steals, not many blocks. I will not permit Benedict Mathurin's run that he's on to be flushed down the toilet. Nonchalant.
I'm very happy to see this level of love for Benedict Mathurin. I didn't realize we're going to stop the show and circle around on the Benedict Mathurin stats.
He's playing good. He's playing well.
I said that I don't hate the player. I hate the game. I hate the game. The player's fine. Never
I'm not
going to
sit here and take that.
The game is rigged. Come on.
All right. What's next? What's our next
New
game?
York and Atlanta is next.
Oh,
and this
God.
Trey stuff
hey,
is...
Have you ever seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Once when I was a kid.
Okay.
I believe.
They have an island of misfit toys there. That is this game.
Yeah. You know...
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. It is. It's to the point where there's a guy that I butchered his name last show, and I'll butcher it again this show. He's like a guard type that's now in the action, and if I could figure out his name on air, I would say, hey, give him a look in some sort of DFS format. I'll get his name here in a second, but the
which team?
He's from on the Atlanta Hawks, and you know. What is the most recent Trae Young update?
Is it
big? Do you have that?
Crunchy.
He's probable. Yeah. The Trae Young being probable thing probably put a little jolt in a lot of folks because it just hasn't been going well in Atlanta. Bogdan's been out for a bit and will continue to be out, but Bufkin out. Krejci. I did not realize that there was an enunciation guide so readily available for me.
We have a human Google watching over us.
Andre, you can send your people over to Dahlogna, Georgia, and erase this guy over here.
Dahlogna.
No, I'll get the name here in a sec. But what are you watching in this game? Because clearly, I'm looking for a name,
dude. Trae Young. Has been awful. The Hawks have been awful. Man, I don't know. I have Trae on so many teams because I was like, Trae and Ja Morant, I thought were going to come out of the gates this year and just crush everything in front of them. They haven't really done that. But it's early. Like, there's still time. And Ja... Like, that last game he had was amazing. He had a triple-double before that. Ja's coming on. I don't know what Trae is doing. I think he was 1 of 10, left the game early his last game. Hawks got destroyed. I don't know. He does not like the Knicks. He tends to play very well against the Knicks. Hopefully, this is a get-right game for Trae.
Look at 1 of 10 against Boston, of course. I mean, Boston's like the Eastern Conference version of OKC. They're just destroying box scores. But, 1 of 10 for Trae in the last one with an injury reported. Not great. It's Keaton Wallace with his 4 steals and 2 blocks in Atlanta. Now I will remember the name, Keaton Wallace. It's impressive. I mean, garbage time perhaps, but against a good squad, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Daniels. We'll see if that minute limit gets expanded there. He's been at about 24 for a couple games now, and that has suppressed his value. And so maybe this is the lull if you want to get in on Dyson Daniels, who I guess the offshoot of being a defensive guy that's going to get a lot of minutes every game is you're going to run through a lot of screens, you get a lot of potential for injury. However, he's going to get literally as many minutes as he can handle all season long. I don't know if the overall production is going to be there. The concerns that we've got with the stat set and the production, things like that. I'm not sure that that's there or not. In the last game, it was not. Again, it's Boston, so we'll see. I'm watching for that. I'm watching to see if the New York Stars continue to produce. Things are kind of humming kind of well there for New York after a questionable start. They're winning basketball games. And Trae, as you mentioned, does love to get up for this game. And I'm my apologies to the great people of Dahlonega that I have besmirched along with Benedict Mathurin. The list is growing.
What are you looking for from New York? Anything?
I want to see, does Ananobi, does he keep up kind of the good work? He's been better than I thought he would be.
OG and Nunabi had a great game last game. He was Nunabi really played well.
Who pissed in your Wheaties this morning, Doc? Want to know, who pissed in your Wheaties?
No one.
Nobody. Just Doc OG on that girl.
OG Ananobi was awesome last game. Like in the first half, I think he had like 3 steals, 5 rebounds, 15 points. Like he played so good.
This is a big game for the Knicks.
If
they can win this game and be 4-3, it's going to take a lot of pressure off them. If they lose in Atlanta, especially given some of the optics around that little mini rivalry, that might actually tip them the wrong direction. So I'm kind of looking for that. San Antonio and Houston. Are we looking for anything here? I don't think we are. I'm looking for a game to skip.
Who's Houston playing?
They're playing San Antonio. And it feels like the third time these two teams have played each other.
Andre says
injury. No skipping. He says no skipping. I love it. This, man of the people, Andre Lamouche.
Dude.
Making sure.
This Jeremy Sochan injury has me so bummed out. He was playing
that was
so
excellent,
well.
By the way, Doc. That Sochan injury has me so bummed out. Are you working in radio? Because that was beautiful. Look, confusion. I love it.
Dude,
okay.
Are you and I going to meet?
Is anybody going to step up?
Are you and I going to meet later and have a fight at Johnny B's?
I'll have a beer with you, sir. Probably 10. Good. If I can. Can I get 10 beers at Johnny B with you, please?
Yes, but Julian Champagne now is a thing, right? Because Sochan's gone.
I think it was a thing before that, but I stipulate your point. That's no Sochan. It got to open up the door for Julian to just, there's no questions, right? Like, I mean, he's been a top 110 guy all season long while doing kind of the dirty work and not really getting a lot of opportunity to do much. Would you trust him for Roto Games cap a Champagne in a matchup like this? Like, is he going to be a top 75 guy or better? Like, I guess that's the question.
It's a great question.
I don't think it's this game.
I don't know, man.
I think Houston's a bad matchup for him, for Champagne. Just a lot of lengthy defensive players that can kind of take away his he's got like a small physical edge right now at sort of his peak NBA skill or athleticism level. Pardon me, his skill will improve, but his athleticism level, like you got Amen Thompson, you got Tari Eason, who scored 5 bazillion statistics the other day. And that might be something I'm watching for in Houston is Tari Eason. Can he calm down in the next one? But like, does he have another one in him where he can just reach up to the stars and just grab the moon? Like,
well, Brew, you're probably not looking at his game log, but they played Houston on Saturday and Monday to kick off the season. Champagne had 12.6 boards in the first one. They met again 2 days later. He had 1 of 6 shots for 5 points and 5 boards. You might be onto something here. Because he had 21 and 5 in his last game against the Clippers. And that's when I was like, okay, Champagne just hit 5 triples. It's all getting ready to happen. But maybe
it's gonna happen all year, folks.
Maybe tonight's not the night.
I think he finishes in the top 75, kind of just with this Sochan injury clearing more path. I mean, Vassell's gonna come back and it'll complicate things a little bit. I just think he's earned his 25, and then there's that potential for more the rest of the season. So that'll be fun. Other than there's some real basketball stuff I'd like to talk about, but let's keep it moving. We got an Anthony Davis update. Questionable in tonight's game, but he was on the floor during shoot around. To me, why bother if you're not going to play? You know, that's my gut with Anthony Davis. I think he plays tonight.
Oh,
so
he's
that's
playing.
Good news.
Hey, I have a I have a serious gambling. I have a gambling problem.
I'm here for you. Let's talk.
If you bet with a bookie that Victor Wembanyama is going to have a double-double, do you win if he has 22 points, 10 blocks, and 8 rebounds?
Dude, yes. Yes, you can tell your bookie to go, you know, get his baseball bat and come beat me. I want my money. Like, I got 10 blocks. Yes.
Is the double-double only points, rebounds, and assists? I don't know.
Unless stipulated. And I'll take it in the turnovers category as well.
Are you asking for a friend? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah. You tell your friend that bet stands. Like, I just won on the 10th block. Can Anthony Davis get 10 blocks tonight?
Dude, Anthony Davis looks like a freaking MVP candidate. He's balling out. He's fired up. He's not missing games. Let's go, AD. Like, I'm all in. I drafted him in so many places. Him and James Harden, because I was scared of Giannis and Joel Embiid and LaMelo Ball and the rest of these guys. So far, AD and James Harden have both been sort of rock stars to me.
And just the questionable on the injury report, does that give you any cause for concern? Like, are you thinking about trying to offload any Anthony Davis under the unsuspecting public, or are you just going to roll with it? Is this just
standard
operating protocol?
He's due to. I don't expect him to play 82.
Well, I do wonder this. If he's a games played guy now, does that mean that he's not on the injury report every day? Was that just like a thing from the past? You know, is he just locked in and no questions at all? We'll find out. Anything else you're watching for in this one?
Is Rui Hachimura's run over? Like, where are we with Rui Hachimura? And do you hang on to him for when LeBron and AD start missing games? I don't really know.
I think this is a big game for Santi Aldama's value. He's staring across at LeBron. He's staring across at Anthony Davis. Hell, even Rui Hachimura probably matches up fairly well with him. And the Lakers are playing fairly well. You know, Aldama needs to be good in these matchups against, high leverage games. He needs to be good in these matchups to prove that he can sustain this value over the long haul. I mean, Vince Williams is coming back at some point, and that complicates matters. If they stay healthy, Desmond Bane comes back, you know, as this team gets healthy, Marcus Smart gets back. Can Santi Aldama sort of weather the storm? That's my sort of nerdy fantasy take for this one here. Cleveland at New Orleans.
Rui Hachimura is doubtful.
If
I'm sitting on him, I think I'd drop him and pick up one of these hot free agents because there's so many out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, the upside with Hachimura has always been questionable. I mean, not a lot of defensive stats, and then it starts to get light when he starts, dipping.
There's too many games. Drop him, pick somebody up, roll.
Yeah, and who knows? There could be other action in L.A. at the halfway point of the season.
I want to see Zach Edey do it again tonight. Awesome.
That is, yeah, we're missing the thank you for bringing that up. I mean, and actually, thank you for holding strong, because there was a ton, including yours truly over here, of people going, I don't know if this is going to happen. I was actually in that posture for most of the preseason, and I was willing to give Edey the benefit of the doubt that maybe there's something here. They got a little weak little double-double that wasn't exactly strong, but they got a big one, a big game in this last one. And now the fact that folks held, I think if I had drafted Zach Edey, I wouldn't have been bailing in the first 2 weeks either, but I think it was good that you stood out there and said, hey guys, don't drop him. And you gave him a nice long ramp to do his thing, to learn the NBA. It's like he's 7'3" or something and needs to figure out the speed of the game. Cleveland at New Orleans. Got a lot of things going on for New Orleans. A lot of players in and out of the lineup. Jose Alvarado, questionable right ankle. That ankle's been a problem for a while. Maybe the reason that he can't really get traction in the league at a larger level, because this guy's been very good for a couple of years now. Hawkins. We got an update on Hawkins. Question that I probably should know the answer to, but I don't. Questionable. Zion Williams, questionable. Yeah, I know you want to get there. Where are you at with Zion?
Oh, I don't care about Zion. I'm Jose Alvarado. Jose Alvarado, with Jordan Hawkins being out, Alvarado has been interesting. You know who I picked up after hanging out with Rick Kamla after dark on Monday night till about 1:30? Brandon Boston, baby. Apparently, New Orleans loves Brandon Boston, and he went off in his last game. And if Alvarado and Hawkins and Zion are all out tonight, Brandon Boston's going to go off tonight. Drop Rui Hachimura and pick up Brandon Boston.
That's some really good fantasy analysis right there. And for those of you who don't know, Rick Kamla may or may not have hosted a show with Antonio Daniels, who may or may not have an inside track on all things New Orleans. I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I'm just, as a bystander, connecting some dots. And Brandon Boston has been sort of frustrating. Like, you see this long, lanky, super talented guy, and he just hasn't stuck in the league. And yeah, he's raw in many respects, but yeah, New Orleans needs it. Brandon Boston needs it. You know, hey, come in, fire up some shots, dude. You got this.
His last three games, 20 points, 14 points, 14 points. 3-5-2 rebounds, 4-4-2 assists, 2-0-2 steals, 2-1-2 threes. Like, if this isn't your sign to go pick up Brandon Boston, I don't know what is.
Well, for a short term at minimum, you know, when this team gets healthy, it's going to be questionable what Boston could do. But yeah, that's a big time line. And then Yves Miecy, I want to see him have a bounce back game. You know, he got his 27 minutes, but he got zero steals, zero blocks in the last one. These box scores get a little wonky when you have teams like Portland and New Orleans who's banged up playing, and it's questionable whether or not they care, just as Zion's questionable and Jordan's questionable. We'll see.
How is Zion hurt already?
That's what I was just going to say.
He's so cut, and he lost so much weight, and this is going to be
the year. Did you and Rick talk about that ethos after dark?
No.
Did you guys cover that subject? Are you going to stay away from the topic?
No, we're going to talk about it.
You're going to talk? Are you going to hash it out?
Tonight at midnight. On
ethos after dark.
I am throwing Zion Williamson off the bridge tonight.
So you guys got to get to that show. It is like the best thing on. And you know, is like there any show that covers basketball on at night? I mean, you kind of get 30 minutes on NBA TV and they just replay the same stuff over and over again all night.
You want to hear Kendrick Perkins talk about his Celtics lore for 20 minutes? That's on.
For those of you who followed me on Twitter in like 2009, know my thoughts and feelings on Kendrick Perkins. There was like no one singular player more responsible for the decline of the Oklahoma City Thunder than Kendrick Perkins. And now he's an advice giver. What does that tell you about Kendrick Perkins? I don't know. Anyway, let's see. We got Oklahoma City, Denver. I kind of skipped. Yeah, let's go back. I'll go Chicago, Dallas. You got Chicago, Dallas. Zach LaVine, unfortunately, you know, starting to kind of show a little bit of injury stuff. That's not great.
Are you surprised? Is anyone surprised?
Like, no, it's
maybe Kamla. Maybe Kamla's surprised. Kamla was like, I'm going all in on LaVine. No,
he does that. And you know what? I like that he does that. And I like that you do it sometimes. You go against conventional wisdom. I do it all the time as well. But like that, it pays off a lot. It was paying off early here. But
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, it sounds like you're not buying into this sort of revitalization of LaVine, no matter how good he looks, that the injury risk is too much.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Najee Marshall might be a good DFS short-term play. PJ Washington, it looks to me like he's out tonight. Maxi Kleber, out. Derek Lively, iffy. That means Gafford and Najee Marshall are playing big minutes for Dallas tonight. Keep that in mind when you're setting lineups and making pickups.
Yeah, lots of big games in the last one. Dosunmu got off 25-5-5. Kobe White, 28 points. Giddey, 15-7. Vooch, 23-10. And the one hell of a highlight sequence with Colin Sexton just yanking at his arm on the foul line, causing havoc with a big old Cheshire smile. I love that stuff. I'm really curious, though, is this the version of the Bulls that we might see, you know, post Zach LaVine if he gets traded? But we'll see. He is at shoot-around, questionable with the adductor muscle, and that's not something they want to mess around with. So I don't know how much heavy lifting present at shoot-around is doing here, but for a guy that's had very serious injury issues, you do not want anything in the chain to be upset, because that just leads to more injuries. So if I had to guess, and I don't have zero intel on this, I would say he probably doesn't play, and then you get more of the White, Dosunmu, Giddey trio sort of at full strength. And that for me is something that I'm just curious about, because that's probably the configuration for the second half of the season there.
Dosunmu was awesome on Monday, and if Zach LaVine is out tonight, put Dosunmu in your lineup. I agree.
I want to see a big game for Daniel Gafford. It's been a little quiet lately, and with no Lively possibly, and that one feels like it's a small thing. So I would probably see this tandem back together, at least if not tonight, in the next one. But I want to see Gafford do his thing. That would be good. And then we get the Oklahoma City Denver game.
Hold on, Najee Marshall.
Oh yes,
you're trying to ignore me here.
I am.
20 points. 20 points. Five rebounds.
Miserably.
20 points, five rebounds, six assists, a steal, 2 3-pointers. He had 8 of 9 shots in his last game against the Pacers. I watched the whole thing on my TV. The announcers are going crazy. Everybody's hurt for Dallas. Najee Marshall is my DFS power play of the day.
Ooh.
Let's get on to Oklahoma City.
Oh, I love it. Oklahoma City at Denver. Now, the Aaron Gordon stuff, I feel like it was just like pretty ABC analysis to go say, all right, go get Peyton Watson, right? Like, it's kind of no questions asked. Like, pretty easy stuff.
Yeah.
But are there any other angles on the Denver side that you would be considering?
Why is Jamal Murray always hurt? That bothers me.
I get knocked in the head.
Peyton Watson, automatic pickup. It's going to be good. Christian Brown's been awesome. Russell Westbrook tonight, when Jamal Murray doesn't play, Russell Westbrook does.
Yeah, it might be 1 for 10. It might be 1 for 20, but he'll play and he'll get some numbers for you. Just, you know, all the caveats aside. But that said, like, come on, this is Oklahoma City. And I'm curious if Oklahoma City takes a night off in this game. Jokic is a big draw, right? But they're 7-0. They're looking across the line. They see Denver without their key guy, Aaron Gordon. And maybe they just start to feel their own, you know, what is it? Feel their own oats. Is that the saying?
An old timey thing.
They're 7-0, and Denver really struggling. I mean, and struggling on so many different fronts. Like, I think they're fighting against their own front office, frankly. Like, that, to me, this is, I don't know what the number is going to be in this Denver game. Oklahoma City is probably going to be favored. If without looking, I'll say Oklahoma City is favored by 2 or 3. And that's probably a Denver bet, right?
Dude, I think that Oklahoma City has won all 7 of their games by at least 10 points. First team. If I'm correct, I think they're the first team that's ever done that. Started off 7-0 with all double-digit wins.
Okay, I'm so sorry. It's Oklahoma City minus 7.5. That's crazy. Guys,
like,
take
they
Denver.
They are killing people.
They're killing people, and I understand that people don't even understand how good they are, like that they are that good.
We have no Isaiah. We have invisible Alex Caruso. What are you doing Let's talk about
that.
They
don't have anybody to cover Jokic in this game, and they'll probably just insta-double him, but that's where Jokic is at his best.
What are we doing in fantasy with Alex Caruso, Brew? Are you holding or are you selling?
Are you cutting? I'm okay with the idea that he could come back and reach up and get you something like top 75 value and we all just miss out on it. I'm okay with that if we miss it. But I'm also cognizant of the fact that Hartenstein's not even in there yet. You know, so like that's one more player to come and knock him back. And it might also be the case that he's sort of fallen on his own sword and he's like, hey, I'm going to do every single thing you guys need me to do, and it's not going to be about stats.
It's the stuff you don't see in the box score. Yeah, I think you're right, dude. I'm about ready to cut him, and I own him. I think I've got him in like two or three leagues, and it's driving me crazy. I'm going to go get Brandon Boston, Najee Marshall, and just go to the bank. Clean out my savings account, drive to Vegas, and just.
Yeah, get on that Denver 7.5. Don't bet it big. Don't bet it big. Just a little bet. But I think this is a spot where Denver says not enough or not anymore. And yeah, let's get out of there. Let's check into Miami and Phoenix. Oh my God, we only got two games left. And we'll get to talk about Joel Embiid for the last one. That'll make you super happy, Doc. Miami Phoenix. So what you thinking here? Like, is there anything on your mind? I know I got a couple angles, but you first.
You know what? I've decided I'm not talking about Miami anymore this year. I'm done. Okay. I don't like them. They're not fun. I don't like any of their players. I like the city. I like Florida. I'm out. I'm done with Miami. And honestly, looking at Phoenix, like, where the hell is Grayson Allen?
Well, his hair is as gray as it gets. It's almost like he had a kid, and there he's like an old man overnight. But he's fine. They ramped him up. He's at what?
Congratulations. Last one? Congratulations, Bradley Beal, for playing through your questionable tag last game. Way to go, bud.
Yeah, you know, Bradley Beal was pretty high in the ranks. I'll try to pull that up here in a quick second. He's missed a couple games, but, you know, he's a top 24 guy in his five games with his three triples and 1.6 steals and 0.8 blocks on 50.8% shooting. Great job, Bradley Beal. That's a Grayson Allen stuff, I think, for a lot of people because he's on that cut line in a lot of people's minds. From my mind, he's a top 75 guy once he's just up and running and healthy, and I think they're slowly ramping him up. That's probably my only concern for him is the Achilles and the fact that he looks like he's 45, 50 years old all of a sudden. I'm not gonna lie, it's worrying me a little bit on my sort of bullish projection here for him. And it's not even bullish, guys. He was a top 40 guy the year before. They paid him. He looked the part. The eye test was there. He looked like one of the better players on the court playing amongst stars. And yeah, they added a player. Well, whoop-de-doo, you know, like if unless he really got hit hard by the kid thing or the Achilles thing, he's going to be just fine. So that's the one that I'll be watching in that game. Bradley Beal's elbow is improving and he's probable for this game. So shout out Bradley Beal for being productive and healthy early on here. Yeah, Doc's happy.
Go.
Okay,
way
let's
to
get
go,
to
buddy.
Philly and Clippers to close this night out. Okay, what you watching for? Give me your hottest Joel Embiid take.
I'm sure we have plenty of time for it. I'm sitting there. I was playing Golden Tee yesterday at Johnny B's. I know you can't believe that.
No, I was going to say, we need just an episode or show type title. I was playing Golden Tee at Johnny B's.
And I look at my phone, and it's like you have a notification from Shams, and I pull it up, and it's like Joel Embiid has been suspended for 3 games. I'm like, dang, man. Like, I buried that guy all year. I'm like, I'm not drafting him anywhere. But even for an Embiid hater, which I don't hate him, but, you know, I'm not an Embiid guy. This just sucks, man. And, like, I don't like what that reporter wrote about him. I don't know that. I mean, that guy should get 3 games off, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm full agreement there. People say things to get attention these days. It feels like the attention economy is more important than the substance economy these days. But Joel Embiid, so we took the plunge, a couple of us over here. And I did it, and so did, I've mentioned this on the show a bunch, so did a lot of my really, really respected competitors in high stakes leagues, guys that win every year. And so, you know, I'm invested here. And I'm watching this Joel Embiid stuff, and I'm thinking, you know what? This ain't half bad. Like, he's pissed. You know, he's going to kind of, I don't know, whatever drama might be bubbling up on the inside, it feels like this sequence of events might sort of push that drama to the side and kind of get to the business of playing basketball. And I bet you he's got a freaking gargantuan-sized chip on his shoulder.
You are truly a glass half full guy.
That glass ain't all that full, Doc.
You're like,
I'm a glass quarter full guy.
Actually, this Embiid stuff isn't going too poorly.
This disaster is not really a disaster.
Work out in my favor.
I'm the Iraqi prime minister guy. No, nothing to see here, folks. But yeah,
actually,
no,
it's going pretty well.
If he gets 55 games under his belt, it ain't half bad. You know, if he gets 60 games under his belt, I think it's a profit. We'll see.
In Roto, you're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in, other news, Paul George, to see how he does. This is an ESPN game, and you got the James Harden stuff also just as like a little side back burner thing going on there. Tyrese Maxey, how does things work out for him? How does this team start to morph in a primetime game against James Harden, who's cruising? I want to see Ivica Zubac kind of get a little bit of his step back. He's been a little slow lately. Your guy Norm is just going to be slow and steady the rest of the way. I'm going to fire you up over there. So not much cooking.
And let's go Andre Drummond.
And let's go one premium. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, Drummond's been a little slow. So this is kind of the last stop for him. He's only got a few more games of being free out there like a barn swallow.
Oh, so
one question.
Embiid's going to come back and be good to go for the rest of the season? Is that what you're saying?
No. He's taking games off, and who knows? I mean, this is the ultimate crapshoot over here at sportsethos.com.
What's our premium subscriber question?
One question from a premium user. Drop Kamara or Bub Carrington to get somebody off of IL. 12-team, 9-cat head-to-head. So that sounds like he's forced to drop one of these two guys. Are you dropping Kamara, who's been pleasantly good, or Bub Carrington, who is just coming off of a really big game?
Yeah. Well, I think you just summed it up for me. What have you done for me lately? That's the world I live in. I'm all about Bub Carrington right now, along with Bilal Coulibaly, and then this kid, Keyshawn George. Kyle Kuzma is hurt. Keyshawn George is going to be good. I'm keeping Bub. I'm dropping Tumani Kamara.
I'm good with that. I wanted to rank Carrington so much higher than he ultimately did. The efficiency issues are the things that dropped him for me, but he is like the college game. It just shone right through the tape. It looked like he was literally going to get 30 minutes right off the bat for this team. It hasn't gone to 30 quite yet, but, Jordan Poole's out there doing Jordan Poole things. Jordan Poole out there dominating the world. We don't get to see these guys play tonight, so that's a bummer. But yeah, I'll go Carrington just for the upside, because I do think Kamara's going to slow roll exactly the way he's done all season long, and that actually might be more valuable. But
who else is going to play point guard for this Washington team? No
Jonas
one.
Valanciunas. You know this.
No one.
It's Bub's world. It's Bub's world. Yeah, it is Bub's world, and we're all just living in it. And thank you guys so much. We've been all over the place. Try to cover these games as fast as humanly possible, because we know you guys don't have 5 hours to listen to us talk, though if we could, we would. And so thank you guys for your patience and working with us and all the great feedback and support. Thank you, Andre, for producing a great show. Thank you, Doc, for getting in here and kicking my ass up and down the field. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.